Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
Splatterhouse looks like an actual serial killer's like basement. Mortal Kombat really just looks like the Halloween prop shop.
Mortal Kombat is a game, the fatality thing, right? Just, we've become so used to it, we don't think about how weird and brutal this is. It's not the actual, like, I'm going to rip your heart out in front of you and, like, take a bite out of it or whatever Kano does. It's that you can only do the fatality when your opponent is at your mercy, cannot fight back, and is just dazed. At that point, you could just let them fall. You do nothing and they die. But you could also choose to rip their head out. Mm-hmm. You know, like literally unscrew their head from their spine and throw it like a beach ball or whatever it is you do.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, a lane maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk Alada, Xerxes, the host of Proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinata, Booker Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, but just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power.
I guess I have no choice.
Hi, and welcome to another Hardcore Gaming 101 Top 47K Games of All Time podcast episode. I think this is episode 203. We're in the 200s now, and hopefully we might go a little higher on Hollow Knight, a Metroidvania-y sort of by Dark Souls kind of game.
I think like Metroidvania with some mild Souls influences is an all right descriptor.
All right, great. It was nominated to us by Itsumi Mario in our slush pile, which is where you can go to. Is it bit.ly/rankthisplease? I think that's the. You can find that. I'm sure it's in the recording. And he said, or they said, become a Patreon, all you haters. Thank you. Well, we say that all the time. So developed by Team Cherry and published by Team Cherry. I've got it released on the PC on the 24th of February, 2017. I was playing this on the PlayStation 4. I suspect there's probably a Xbox One and a Switch version at this point. I think I saw it on the Switch.
There's definitely a Switch.
Playing on the Switch.
Yep. All right. So it's pretty much available on anything that you'll own. And I'm Carl, and you've heard both of the other people on here today.
I'm Slowbeef.
I'm Disco Alucard. I'm the guy who runs the site.
Both the people in this are far more important than me, so I don't know why I'm bothering to host this crap. All right.
come on.
I don't know the introduction. I can barely talk.
Nah, it's fine. I don't know it either. I haven't done one of these in like 2 weeks, so I've completely forgotten how to do them. So, Hollow Knight. We described it at the start. I like the setting. It's really, like, you play as, like, this spooky little cartoony knight, like, monster kind of guy. Like, just this shade kind of creepy thing.
He's a bug, yeah.
Yeah, he's a bug, but he's the least bug-like of the bugs, right? Like, all the other bugs are...
I don't know. I showed it to my wife earlier tonight, and she was like, I don't know if that's a bunny or a demon. I'm like, it's a bug.
Okay. I think the conceit is, I think that absolutely that they're like, this is like an insect world. And there's like a bug society that's roughly medieval or Renaissance era. Like, they have armor, which is mostly kind of bony sort of armor. And they have weapons, which they make out of, like, needles and, like, nails. They're actually the main weapons in the game are nails.
Yeah, they call them nails, not swords, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yeah, I don't want to get into my opinions of it just yet, but yeah, it's all like nails and needles and things like that, and but definitely, like, I think it's like pretty creative insofar as it is an insecty kind of world, but it is pretty like cartoony, and maybe cartoony is not the right word, but like it's very stylized, you know?
Yeah, well, it's got the it's got like thick black outlines to pretty much, well, thick clean outlines to everything. The colors are. They're not fill colors, but it's not super hyper detailed or anything. Like
it's a higher resolution than a lot of like indie Metroidvanias. Like it's much crisper looking than like an Axiom Verge would look like.
Yeah, it does not do the sprite thing, which is a little unusual for Metroidvania type of games.
Maybe a little bit crisper than Guacamelee, because that had kind of a like flash animation style to it. This one looks a little.
I think the characters in this look kind of flash animation-y, but the levels themselves are really impressive looking, like multiple, very thoughtful, like parallaxing and stuff. I thought was really cool. Like there's a lot of depth to the backgrounds, which you sort of notice immediately once you, go through the little tutorial area and then you enter the main hub for the game, which is like the top part of a decaying bug capital city. This is kind of like, I think a bit where the Dark Souls, this sort of stuff comes in, since the whole game is kind of a perpetual state of decay, and you're just kind of rustling through its corpse, which is, you know, very Soulsian.
Mm.
I mean, there are mechanics, but I mean, like, I've never really played a Dark Souls game. Like, I played Bloodborne for a couple of hours, so that's my only reference to this sort of stuff. And it borrows some, like, mechanic stuff from it, right?
Yeah, I mean, the big one is that if you die, your currency in the game, which I'm kind of blanking on at the moment, is left at the last place you died. If you could reach it again, you don't lose anything, but if you die the second time in the row, it's gone forever. I would say that while I do agree, it has that sort of notion of, like, a world that's gone by, sort of. It's less bleak than Souls, I found.
You know, there's a lot, intentional sort of rays of hope. You've got the map maker and his wife, who are just kind of peppy, regular people. You meet that jackass who thinks he's like the greatest like swordsman ever.
I mean, I think in like Souls games, like it's kind of like, as far as likable characters, you've got like Solaire and that's it, you know. Maybe some spider lady that like people like, but for the most part, you know. But here in Hollow Knight, there's quite a few likable NPCs, I found, you know.
Yeah, you keep meeting up with that one other like explorer who just kind of hangs out and talks to you in different locales. It's a lot less lonely and a little less hostile, even though everything's trying to kill you.
Yeah, it's your fast travel system is like a big stag beetle, and if you come, like all the NPCs have this sort of like signature sound effect they do, sort of. So you'll walk up to him, he'll go like, and then he'll like he sounds like really kind of tired, but he'll like scuttle you off to like each location you unlock.
He scared me the first time, because when you're near him, he just, like, goes, I'm like, whoa, crap, is there something, like, huge coming to kick my ass? But, no, it's just him hanging out. And, I mean, like, we've said Metroidvania, and I guess we can go into a little bit of detail of what kind of makes this one stand out, because if you're familiar with the genre, this is pretty similar in that regard. You explore a fairly large area that you don't really have a map for, you map it out yourself. You actually have to purchase components to begin the auto-mapping. Doesn't take very long to do that, so it felt kind of pointless to me, but I guess it's a little bit thematic, so it's okay. You get, like, tokens and stuff that mark, like, important points on your map, but I think it took all of, like, an hour to buy, like, all of those, and then I was like, cool. Done. But the main thing, I guess, is the combat is interesting.
It's definitely much harder than an average Metroidvania. It has an interesting flow to it, because your life meter is pretty low. Like, I don't remember, you start with, what, 3, 4, 5 little skull things?
I think so,
And instead you have this sort of magic system where, like, when you continue to kill bad guys, it'll refill up your magic, and you can use that to either refill your health or do a little special magic blast. And the refilling the health, I think, is another thing that at least was sort of Bloodborne. Like, it takes like a second. Like, if you're in the middle of a boss fight, you need to like find a breather that you can safely use it without taking more damage.
I found it was very close to like Estus, like an Estus flask kind of thing from Souls, which, like you say, is like Bloodborne, the blood vial's pretty quick, but Estus like takes a second. And like you say, if you're in the middle of combat or something, you need to, part of the challenge is finding that breather that you can heal.
And that's something I don't really like that. I don't really like in Hollow Knight. It's weird because it's a 2D game. So trying to find like a safe space is you need to like watch your patterns and try to make sure you get in like that tight thing to make sure that you get in there. Whereas, you know, the demons at Bloodborne is 3D, where you could just more easily like run away.
I guess part of this one, though, is I think it's a bit more generous. If I remember correctly, in the Souls games, your idiot kind of like whips out an Estus flask, kind of like looks at it, just starts drinking it, and then discards it. And you're kind of stuck in that. Whereas in this one, the Hollow Knight is just like...
takes about a second charging. Or so. A little bit under a second.
But you so can bail out of charging and sacrifice the little bit of energy that you burnt trying to heal. So you...
Yeah. But you know, it regenerates pretty quickly. Like, you could just hit bad guys and it'll fill back up again. Like, that's probably one of my favorite things, that interplay between them. It works really well.
One thing, like, is I feel like this game borrows a lot. I shouldn't say a lot. It borrows a lot. Well, yeah, all right, fine. It borrows a lot of things from Souls games, but I found it, like, borrows a lot of the good things. So, like...
Yeah.
Like, we might disagree on the Estus part, but I don't... I think it's a bad impression if you think this is very Souls-like, because it's not quite the punish you till you get better sort of thing. Like, it does require some tight platforming and some timing around the combat, but I find it, like, a lot more accessible than a Souls game. You know, like, you...
Yeah, like...
Hollow Knight's not easy, but you can... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, some of the early bosses tend to be, like, they wind up their attacks, like, very clearly, and since it is 2D, you can make sense of it a lot easier than Souls bosses, you know, I think, where they're like, here's the attack that hits everything, and you're like, whoa, how the hell do I deal with this? Whereas, you know, when this game, you can make sense of what's going on a lot quicker, and when you get hit, the game very generously pauses to an extent, like it just goes boom, and you slow down, you get some invincibility frames, like you can get like a few seconds to like make sense of what's going on, whereas Souls, I'm pretty sure it's just like smack, 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 smack.
Well,
like you can,
yeah,
you can
and also typically like with like a Souls boss, it's like two hits and you're dead the first time unless you're like appropriately leveled or geared, and there's a lot of, yeah. It, you know, that's the thing. I think part of that challenge is it sort of punishes you, and Hollow Knight will take things like that sort of risk with healing and recover your stamina, you know what I mean? Recover things on death, that opportunity. But again, like, not quite some of the other stuff, but still not an easy game.
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, you don't, in Souls, if you kind of burn through all your healing items in a boss, that's kind of it, isn't it? Like, you're just, now you just got to fight the boss with whatever you've got left. Whereas, as you said, as being said, you attack things in this game, and that rebuilds your, like, soul meter, so you can rebuild your ability to heal in the middle of a boss. You just have to have worked out some semblance of a pattern, and then you can get your health back as long as you can work out the right timing to get it back. And that means if you start playing risky, and the game kind of does, it tempts you to playing risky because it'll be faster, but then you'll see might burn through your health really quick, so you gotta be like, oh crap, I need to calm down a bit here and just do the safe hits, get a little bit of energy back, get that health back. You know, it kind of like
also
doesn't overly
use it on the use it on the magic attack instead. You're like, I'm doing pretty good. I could just waste this stuff.
Yeah, that's almost there to just like, I don't know, like you think it's gonna work, and you can use it against some enemies that are giving you a lot of problems. You can save your energy for that, burn through it, and then build your energy back up on the weak little guys that you don't have any trouble with. Like, I think it works pretty well. I actually really. Enjoyed traversing in this game, because unlike Metroid, the very original Metroid, where you had to constantly build up health reserves, it's such a pleasure in this one, because you just bounce off enemies, you just smack your way through them, get your health back if you screwed up, and it just kind of like, you just move through the level very calmly. There's no, you know, there's no extra hassle.
I found the traversal pretty fun, but at the same time, I found enemies very hard to see sometimes. Like, there's a lot of not background, but also foreground objects. It's like really subtle detail, but then you can't see anything because everything in this game is so dark.
What were you playing it on, by the way?
Mostly on the Switch.
Was it portable?
Yeah, portable mode.
Okay. I could see it being a little bit more difficult to discern the levels on like a smaller screen.
Yeah, the fact that just everything just kind of blends together. And also, like, when I was playing it before the podcast, I was in one of the level with the... it's like an underground water cavern. There's boiling lakes everywhere. And there's lots of spots where you just have to drop down, and you don't know what you're dropping into. So I was falling in that boiling stuff a whole lot until I was able to feel out where stuff was. Like, there's just a lot of, I feel like, amateur level design. Maybe not a lot. Maybe it's just this particular part that was just irritating me.
I think that it takes advantage of the fact that it's fairly forgiving in that regard.
You can always regenerate your health. So it's really only like if you run into, I think, a bad luck enough times in a row.
I will say, like, one thing that a lot of Hollow Knight players, it's like sort of those pleasure pain kind of complaints, which is there's an area called Deep Nest, which is a very hard area of the game, and it's full of centipedes, and there's a lot of like spike traps and things, and a lot of the map leads through or to Deep Nest, and it's very easy to accidentally fall out of pit, and you're like, shit, I got stuck in Deep Nest again. which is like, yeah, as much as I really do like this game, that is kind of a pain. I think, though, some of it is, like, really interestingly, like, intricately designed. There's some boss fights that are really well done. So, I would kind of say, like, I feel like, yeah, there's probably some slip-ups here and there, but there's some solid stuff there as well.
I think it's a bit more daring, too, isn't it? Like, it doesn't feel like they looked at Castlevania or Metroid and just kind of went, okay, we're just going from there. We're going to carve out our own specific buggy niche in here, like... They're going to find that interesting insect world and fill it in with interesting, cool insect details. Like, there's that area that's, like, full of, like, floating jellyfish and stuff. And mm-hmm. there's this whole, like, really, like, cool... you got to bounce off the jellyfish and, like, you know, by hitting with your sword. So you kind of, like, hop on top of things. And it's, like, a different palette. And the level's really interestingly designed. And it doesn't feel like a direct from either of those particular two progenitor games. It's just kind of... It's just an interesting little set piece, and it's got tons of different variety, which I wasn't expecting. When the game loaded up, I thought it was going to be all very, like, grim, very humdrum, like, you're exploring a dead city, so it's going to be pretty dry. But no, you go through, like, yeah, like, pink forests of jellyfish and, you know, like, yeah, like, underground lagoons, and that's all very green. You got the nests, and then you sort of move through different levels of city area and stuff, and so it's like a really... It's a cool place to look at, as well as, I don't know, I don't think the design is, I don't think it's poor. I think it's pretty good.
I agree with that. I think we're probably going to have divisive opinions is when you talk about the art style. If you look at screenshots of Hollow Knight, especially even the different areas, it does tend to look samey because there's a very cohesive is minimalist the right word? Like, it's very subdued with colors. Like, things are very, like, sharp. Now, like, it'll go
it's
to some areas.
It's very detailed, so.
I'm sorry?
It's very detailed. Yes. Yeah,
It's like, you might get, I guess depending on how you feel about it, like, because I can see what you mean by, like, certain ways it looks or what have you, but it might look at first glance, like, kind of samey, but I think the areas do have their own sort of character to them, and that's done well, but that said, I can kind of see that complaint also.
I mean, it looks a lot better in motion, I would say, because the screenshots don't show off the level of, like, background, like, intentional background work, and if I remember correctly, a lot of the level itself is quite lively, like, things and stuff are... You know, certain things are moving and there's like things actually kind of going on. There's little birds and stuff, like the classic, like environmental things that aren't threatening to you that just kind of, you know, do their own thing, which is always nice to see. And it's not like the whole world is just vibrating constantly. It's not like it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a lot of tasteful restraint in what the game does.
Yeah. See, that was something that, like, when the game first came out, people were saying that the playtime was, like, something like 15, 20 hours. And there's been a lot of add-on packs since then.
Yeah.
And that actually initially, like, completely put me off the game. Because, and I'll get into this, I have very strong opinions about what I like in my Metroidvanias. Mm-hmm. And a 20-hour game is asking a lot. Like, generally, like, Super Metroid, Super Castlevania, even more recent games, like, they generally, like, 7-8 hours if you want to beat them, a little bit longer if you want to max it out. But, you know, when I go through these caves, like, the game is very nice looking, but at the same time, you're still just walking through caves. You're still just fighting bugs. it's not really a game I want to spend 20 hours with. Like, until I played Monster Boy, I thought that was just way too long to begin with. But I spent 20 hours with Monster Boy, and I loved it. But this game never convinced me. Like,
I think
it's also like the music. Like, music in these games is, like, paramount. Like, it has to have a good soundtrack. And I don't know if this game has music. Like, it kind of does, but I've never remembered. Like, everything about the world in a Castlevania game is identified with what the soundtrack is. And it's one of the things that just, the areas, like, have something unique about them. But without that musical connection, like, it just feels so empty.
I'm wondering, because it has been a little bit since I've played it last, but, like, I feel like some of the NPC areas have, like, the town has music, right? Or am I misremembering that?
I think the only thing
I remember about the game is, like, the sound effects, like you mentioned, like the little humming dude of the map yeah. guy.
Okay. I'm pretty sure when you go into the shop, it busts out a little tune.
I think bosses might, too. I feel like it's kind of, because that's another sort of Souls thing, right, is typically there's not much in the way of music until, like,
you play
bosses.
To me, that's, like, a paramount sin. Like, it has to have good music if I'm spending that much time with it. Okay, so here is my central issue with Hollow Knight and how it compares to other games, is that Castlevania Symphony of the Night and Super Metroid are both pretty easy games. Like, it's not necessarily that they were designed to be easy so much as they are just can be very easily unbalanced. Like, Super Metroid is kind of difficult if you don't bother to get any of the energy tanks or missiles or anything like that. It's probably possible if you skip the missiles. And Symphony of the Night, like, once you know the proper way to get the weapons or just the right order to do things, like, there are bosses that are hard, there are bosses that are easy. At a certain point, you can just trounce all over it and it's trivial. This game, I guess, takes a little bit more than Dark Souls. Again, it's not as hard. It's just, it wants to be more of a challenging action platformer. And it tries to balance itself out by not having any interesting objects to find. Like, the level design of a Metroidvania is more than just the layouts and the enemies, it's what's in it. Like, you know, in a Castlevania game, this particular enemy will drop this item. In Super Metroid, this area has these weird set of hallways that 5 hours later, once you get the right items, you can solve a weird environmental puzzle and get something small. And this game, and as much as I played it, like, the stuff I got are, like, little perks, which is, like, your sword is slightly longer, and you could only equip a certain number of them at a time. So, like, the exploration was just not gratifying because it didn't feel like I was gaining anything. Again, there's, like, you can get health power-ups, but again, it's not much because it still wants to, you know, it can't make you too strong because it still wants to make the game difficult, which is fine. But at the same time, it robs the element of a Metroidvania that I really like. And another issue with that is there are elements in this genre that are standard that Hollow Knight takes away and then sells back to you because it needs to find something to do with the currency. So I really just, like, it's not really that much of a hassle in the game, but just really dislike the idea that you enter an area, you don't have a map, you just stumble around until you find the guy where you have to buy the map from. You get those little warp points, which you also have to spend money to unlock. So why is this here?
Well, one thing I do have to say, though, is you do get, like, better upgrades in it that let you traverse differently. Like,
yeah, the traversal is something, like, I've only played, like, 3 hours of this game. Like, I'm mostly in there because I know you like it. I'm like, well, I mean, in 2017, and like a lot of games, I bought it and played it for like an hour, like, oh, this is neat, but I generally don't spend much time with it unless it, like, I'm really engrossed with it and we're going to write about it. And it really got this second wind when the Switch version came out, and everybody discovered there, and people are like, this is the best Metroidvania ever made, it's up there with the greats. And then I go back in there with this mindset and just, like, I don't really see it. Like, a lot of these things aren't necessarily, like, flaws so much as philosophical disagreements that I have with this sort of stuff.
Sure.
And I will forgive them because there are games that I think are bad Metroidvanias that I still like. Like, Guacamelee isn't very good as far as world design, but it's a cool looking, sounding game. The combat is a lot of fun. The platforming is a lot of fun. Shantae and the Pirate's Curse is another game I think is pretty neat, but the level design is just, it's not really all that interesting in a way that makes it fun to explore. So, that's fine, but when coupled with, like, the graphic design, which doesn't really gel with me, and the lack of music, I just I don't hate this game. There are parts of it that I do really like, but I just end up feeling very lukewarm about it. Like, I'm not compelled to explore the world in the way that I am in other games.
Well, I'm sorry for your wrong opinions on video games there. What was your name again? Kurt or something? Listen, what do you call it? No, that's fair. I will say, like, I think some of the better upgrades take a bit to open up, from what I recall. You know, because there is stuff like Beyond, obviously there's a double jump. There's a cool one that, like, lets you, like, kind of hang on a wall and then rocket to the other side. Kind of like Shine Sparking in a way, but off of a wall jump.
Okay. There was something like that in one of the Shantae games. It wasn't that fun there. I think the monkey has that in that game. The monkey, and then there's, like, a monkey bullet.
Gotcha.
But yeah, okay. Well,
at any rate, what do you call it? So I'm not saying that as, like, a counterpoint, because... You know, yeah, you're
right.
Are you
saying that Hollow Knight is a slower stotter? Because it does sound like it. If it's
that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, it's not absent those things. Listen, we're about science here, so I don't want us to, like, come up with an opinion of Hollow Knight and then have someone do, like, some Phoenix Wright thing and be like, "You listen here, you dumb jerks." You know?
No,
there absolutely is. Yeah.
I want to really like this game. And again, like, my opinion of this isn't, like, set in stone, because I haven't really spent a significant amount of time with it. I just never got to that point where, like, yeah, I'm invested. I gotta see this.
Well, what the heck are you doing on this podcast then? Just go.
I'm talking it through. I keep an open mind unless it's Vagrant Story, because that game can.
Come on, man! Vagrant Story is pretty good.
That game is terrible.
But my concern is I saw the long playtime, and apparently the game also has multiple endings, and I'm like, oh god.
To be fair, it does that thing in, like, it's like Symphony of the Night, where you can get a bad ending, but you can still use a save near the end to do the good stuff then. It's not like
So it's more like a collecting your crap so that you can get a better ending kind of deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, it's not one of those. No, don't worry. I would that's like one of my major, like, bet peeves of things is long play games where you're just like, hey, you got the bad ending, now let's do that all again, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty true.
I've never played a Metroidvania that did any of that, because if it did, I would probably throw it out the window.
I don't know, yeah.
Most of them have something like that, where, you know, like, you need to fulfill this objective, but even if you get the bad ending, like, it's not a huge waste of time that you did it.
Right.
So, if any final words on Hollow Knight, and then we can, I guess, rank it.
I will tell you, I really do like the combat in the game, because I feel like the platforming and everything, for 2D, it's very fluid, and it is fun, and I'm going to brag a little. No, I think, like, one of the things to do with the difficulty, there's a boss named Mantis Lords, which is an extremely fun fight. I'm not going to spoil it here. It's, like, one of those memorable fights, and I got it my first try, which... I feel like in a Souls game doesn't ever really happen, unless it's, like, an easy boss like Pinwheel or something like that. Usually, like, the cool fights, you have to fail them a few times, but, like, Mantis Lord, like, you have enough health and you can learn enough about the patterns your first time through that you have a fighting shot at actually, and I think that's true of most every boss in the game.
Unless you get really unlucky learning their pattern, you'll probably be able to find that break to get some health back, and you can start to lose and then come back up, which is cool. I think
And like I said, you know, it's not easy, and like we talked about, it's definitely like you only get like 2-3 hits at the beginning, especially. So that's not a common thing. And in fact, I can only think of one boss to have it. But I feel like that's what kind of sets it apart, whereas like a lot of Souls games are sort of like, we're gonna keep beating on you and forge you out of steel, young, you know, player. But this is a little more like, hey, you know, this I feel like you have a little more of experience with. You don't have to, like, relearn a stamina system or, like, playing aggressively or anything like that, you know. It's like, you've played platformers, you kind of know what you're doing. We're just going to try to build on what you already know.
It's pretty cool. It also has animated cutscenes, right? Just a few here and there dotted about that are pretty nice, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought that was cool. Don't usually, like, get that kind of production value where it's like, oh, actual stuff is happening and I'm getting... it's nice. It's a very, I think it's a very nice little game. I think you have to play it. You won't be able to know if you're gonna like it. Since it seems like if you like platformers, you might like it, whether or not you like Metroidvanias. Since it seems I think it strikes a little bit outside of the genre, which I think is really nice. Like, it breaks enough general conventions that you might like it, even if you don't.
It took risks. It took risks.
Yeah,
which is why I think it should go. No, I'm kidding. Does anybody have any suggestions for where they want
we
to
we haven't ranked Risk yet. I hope we rank a Risk so that I can just...
All right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I have no idea. I'm stalling.
I'm looking at La Mulana right now.
That's a game I probably should have played. I played La Mulana too, but I was way too intimidated. Just like, that's one of those games I was talked up as being so hard. Like, I will just never get anywhere in this game.
I've played it. I didn't finish it. I played it for like a few hours. And like, I like recorded it and reviewed my footage for hints, you know, like to do that way. And it was really freaking hard. And there's one like push a thing puzzle. I had to like write stuff down. It is really hard.
Yeah. Once I have to bring out the pen and paper, I'm like, I don't know. I could do this. I could take a nap.
La Mulana is tricky because I feel like, I mean, they were obviously going for like a particular sort of thing, you know? It's not accessible.
Yeah, that was definitely a like '80s MSX. Just sort of, we're going to make it as obtuse as possible, sort of thing.
I gotta give respect to it. That was daring. They went for it, and people loved it, or at least the people that were going to love it loved it. Which is, you know, they don't get many games.
I'm looking at like the literal like 100 mark, which sounds like you guys like want to put it probably a little lower than that.
I'd probably consider it at the very least 110 is Demon's Souls. Why does it stack up against the original Souls?
That's a good question. It's tricky because the influence is absolutely there. I do like that, unlike a lot of Souls-like, especially 2D Souls-likes, Hollow Knight's like really one of the few I've ever played that's like really nailed a 2D Souls. Like, usually it's too literally the Souls formula.
Yeah,
or...
I definitely this one.
Salt and Sanctuary, isn't that
pretty? Yeah.
Again, I've never played it, but I heard that was basically like a 2D Souls.
It is. I like it, but I don't like Hollow Knight. I really got into. I thought I was like, this is really cool. I'm really happy with the way they did that. Salt and Sanctuary, like, I couldn't quite get there. And I feel like Salt and Sanctuary was meant to be 2D Dark Souls, and like Hollow Knight's meant to be kind of its thing, but it borrows, you know? So that's
I feel like this one was smart enough to identify that maybe 2D Souls is too much and it needs to be a little something else.
That's fair. Where's Demon's Souls again?
Demon's Souls 110. I've got something else to talk about, but that's okay. The other thing I got to talk about is the game that you dragged my ass around on. Alien Isolation is 122.
So
yeah.
It's like, I was on that episode too, but
I know, that's why I said you dragged my ass on that one.
I don't know. I mean, I really like this game. I personally want to put it higher, but that said, I feel like this is the right area.
I'm just trying to gouge based on like how you feel about it.
If
it is that great, and it is apparently.
I really, really like it, you know. Is it better than like Demon's Souls though? You know, which is like a game I also like, but kind of recognizes that sort of influence and things like that, you know. I wouldn't be hurt if we put it around like a 120. It's got to go above Her Story. That's just, I'm sorry.
Come on, Her Story is so good.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. So anyway, so we're out.
Well, I'll tell you what. I love the health system in this game so much. I really love it. I think it's like the best Metroidvania type of health system I've ever seen.
Cal, you really like Vagrant Story, right?
I don't mind Vagrant Story.
Okay. What would you feel about, let's say, I'm just hypothetically here as a compromise.
I'm looking at it, yeah.
115, like, we make it the new 115, so under GoldenEye, but above Outlaws.
I never really liked Outlaws all that
much. Me neither, it sucks. So, boom. Perfect. Let's make a deal. What do you say, Kurt? Are you in or out?
Strider 2014 is at 92, which I don't hate that game. Like, it's fine, whereas I have stronger feelings about Hollow Knight, even though... those strong feelings.
You gotta pull this like way
ones?
Higher now, or
no? I mean, this actually isn't that bad a spot. I mean, it's lower than Zillion, which is at 153.
Mm-hmm.
You mean above Zillion?
Oh yeah, or... this area we're talking about, which
Zillion
is like, that's just like one of these, me being a Sega fanboy.
I know Zillion. Only... Honestly, this game is better than Zillion, Kurt. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I always wanted to play Zillion, I guess, but I never did.
But... Yeah, I don't know if
it's got a good song.
Zillion has a really good song, and Hollow Knight has like none.
Good.
Granted, it's the same song for like 2-3 hours, but it's a good one.
Anyway, I'm actually happy to put it above Outlaws. I think it's a really good game.
All right, you want to say Is that fair then? Like right below GoldenEye, right above Outlaws?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone can complain about that. I think this is a startlingly good game in its build.
I mean, it's below the Metroid, so that's fine.
And I think, I mean, honestly, like, Outlaw, I mean, GoldenEye is good company to be with, you know, especially a neighbor. Yeah. So.
No, I think it's really great. I think it's a modern Metroidvania classic. And yeah. I think that's, and I adore that it's set in Bugworld. I adore so much about the, like, so much about what it tries to do and mostly gets right. I'm very impressed by it. So
I'll say, why not? Yeah. And I'll say too, just not to spend too much time, but like, I think maybe, and this is something, I don't know if you both agree with that, like, when you talk about Metroidvania, this is a very beloved genre. So when you talk about these sort of complaints, it's not even necessarily that it's a bad game. It's just there's so much good company too, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's a good thing to have, because for a long time, like, there was Metroid, and then there was the Castlevania DS games for a couple of years, and there was, like, nothing for a long time. Mm. And then they came back. So it's okay. It's okay that there's, you know, and this is definitely better than the more mediocre ones, so.
Yeah, it does more. I mean, there's so many mediocre ones, and this one strives for more, achieves more. That's where it goes. It's going at 115 above Outlaws and below GoldenEye 007, which I guess is the full name for that N64 game. Great game. Catch Shovel Knight on literally any system if you want.
Hollow Knight.
Hollow Knight.
Did I say Shovel Knight again? I've been saying Shovel Knight all the time. Every time I've talked about this game, I do mean Hollow Knight. Also, Shovel Knight, thankfully, is a good game, so I can get away with saying it. And people are like, that is a good game. I'm like, That's right, I was totally talking about Hollow Knight and Shovel Knight. And all right, night games. Good night.
Night.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rood, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.